close at hand. But this week, instead of being a voice crying out in the wilderness, John is in prison. And from that prison, Herod's prison, John sends a question to Jesus. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? And what does this mean? Why is he asking this? This is all how I've always heard it. We've heard, despite John's circumstances in prison, he does not focus on himself. Instead, John focuses on Jesus. He needs to know if Jesus is the one they've waited for or if another is still to come. He asks, is Jesus the one who will bring deliverance and new life in the midst of the violence and terror of the Roman occupation? And then we are told by the scholars, John does not ask this question for himself. He asks, are we to wait for another? And what he means is that he is just one person in a whole community of people who are waiting for Christ to come. We are told that even in the most personally difficult times, even from prison, John asked on behalf of his community. Salvation is coming not just for him, it is for his community. And then we hear the inspiring responses from Jesus. Jesus points to the unexpected and transforming signs of God's reign. The Gospel of Advent 3 this week responds to the Gospel from Advent 2 last week. Last week, John the Baptist predicted the coming judgment. And this week, Jesus, also quoting the prophet Isaiah, speaks of the transforming power of his ministry. Each week, we hear more about what the presence of God means for the world today and at the end of time. That coming begins here and now. And hearing that, in the traditional way of listening to this gospel, we go on with our peaceful Advent planning. We wait with patience for the coming of the Lord, even as we rejoice in his presence among us today. We stand in the quiet of waiting for the salvation of the Lord while seeing that very salvation breaking into the world around us. We who live in the Christian faith do as people searching the world do so as people searching the world around us for signs of God's kingdom. And then we say amen and go on with our peaceful Advent waiting. Yes, this is how I've always read it. This is how I've always heard it. But this year, it struck me differently. Not nearly as kindly. A voice cries, John the Baptist's voice cries, prepare the way of the Lord. And just before Jesus begins his public ministry, John the Baptist appears, calling people to change their thinking and speaking of the powerful one who is to come. And then John ends up in prison. Because he speaks truth to power. Physically, ancient prisons did not provide for the basic needs of the prisoners, even food or clothing. The community of John the prisoner had to visit him to keep him physically alive and well. John also had to rely on his community to connect him, to tell him what was happening out in the world. His community helped to save him from isolation and despair that could arise from being in prison. John needed his community to help him survive the Roman prison, and they showed up for him. But what does Jesus do? In Matthew 4:12, we read that Jesus learns of John's arrest at the time of the very beginning of his own ministry. But it is not until well into Jesus' public teaching and healing that Jesus and John are in touch again. In Matthew chapter 11, and John cries out again to the one he was proclaiming, "Are you him? Are you the one?" And when I read it this time, it sounded to me like what John is really saying. John crying out from prison is, "If you are him, why am I in prison? Help me, help me." Halfway through his gospel, Matthew tells us this story about John the Baptist, who from prison seems to doubt that Jesus is the one that John expected. John the Baptist, the faithful forerunner, runs into his own doubts. Unjustly imprisoned and having access only to secondhand information about Jesus' ministry, John cries out in despair. John has begun to have doubts. John's struggle with doubt and disappointment while he is imprisoned by Herod points a way for us. How do we keep our faith when reality doesn't match expectations? Jesus responds to John's doubt with evidence of the kingdom unfolding. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. But what did Jesus mean when he said to John, "Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me"? John expected, and so often we also expect and hope for the coming of a new king, a mass movement, or the second coming to fix all the things that are wrong with this world. But Jesus points out the way the gospel really spreads, one person at a time, one healing, one salvation at a time. John wanted to change the whole world right now, just like a lot of us. But Jesus told him, that is not how it works. "Take no offense at me," Jesus says. John's question, "Are you the one?" is for us. It's for us in our present time. As ICE raids, detention centers, and mass deportation frighten communities, even our community here in Vancouver, Washington, as affordable housing disappears, as prices go up, as inflation makes our money worth less, many are asking, what is the good news for our times? How is God delivering God's people in these fear-filled times? Such realities and questions ask us to consider how we, as community of faith, can respond. How can we be present with those seeking the Messiah in the midst of jail, family separation, and uncertainty? Jesus' response to John offers the biggest clue about how we might respond. Actions speak louder than words. Jesus' response is a call to action. Any who follow Jesus, all of us who follow Jesus, are called to embody the good news like Jesus did, sharing it through actions with those who are vulnerable. More than offering words and platitudes, people of God are called to live out the good news. It is a call for us to care for those cast out or overlooked, the forgotten in prisons and detention centers, shelters, and hospitals. It asks us to consider how our actions answer the question, "Are you the one?" How can we all become the ones who live out the good news, challenging the wrongs we see? How do we help people one by one to continue Jesus' ministry together, sharing God's freedom and blessing and glimpsing the kingdom of God? How can we be the ones? In the end, I think we have a choice to respond between two ways of the work of Jesus in the world, two ways of looking at Advent. We can spiritualize it, turn it into religion and lofty aspirations, sweet and quiet Advent waiting for Christmas. Or we can recognize the real struggle of our human lives and live out our faith in our all too human world. We have a choice between these two paths, spiritualized and made into platitudes and aspiration, or really human, about real life. Isn't the real truth that we are all with John, like John, sitting in some kind of prison? As the darkness grows, let us hear Christ's call to John. Instead of sitting in our despair, let us see hope, let us be hope, let us keep turning toward the coming light of the Christ. Amen.